Luke chapter 11 and verse 21. Luke 11 verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. And our subject this morning is the peace that we should flee. The peace that we should flee from. This is the peace that we ought to beware of. Well, now we these words this morning, they are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, but in this particular verse, he is not speaking about himself. And we may wonder why. It sounds, perhaps, that the Lord may be referring to himself. A strong man, well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a strong man, is he not? And it speaks about peace. Do we not say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace? Well, yes, we do, and all those things are right. But this verse is not specifically about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about him at all. In fact, he's talking about Satan here. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. He's not talking about himself. He's talking about the devil, about Satan. The strong man armed keepeth his palace, and his goods are in peace. And well, it's very clear from the context that this is who he is speaking about. The Lord Jesus Christ in this passage, he has cast out a demon. And the Pharisees and the scribes who have seen this, they are opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. And they say, they tell all the people, well, this Lord Jesus Christ, he is casting out demons. And you know why? Because he's a demon himself. That's what they were saying to all the people. The Lord Jesus Christ, oh yes, it seems to be marvelous. He's casting out these devils. Well, it's because he is in league with the devils. It's because he's on the side of the devils. He's on the side of Beelzebub. That's how he can cast them out. That's what they were saying. They opposed him so much. He can cast out demons and devils because he is on the side of the devils. Verse 15, we read that. Some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. He's on the side of the devils. But well, in verse 17, the Lord answers them, but he, knowing their thoughts, the Lord knows the thoughts of each and every one of us, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? And well, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, Satan will not oppose himself. Satan will never employ somebody to destroy his own work. Of course not. So he would not employ me to undo his work. That doesn't make any sense. And then verse 19, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. Well, there's a lot we could say about that verse. It's a tremendous thing to think about. But really what the Lord is saying, there were many exorcists amongst the Israelites at this time. Many people who claimed to cast out demons, claimed to cast out devils. And nobody said of them, oh, they're working through the devils. Nobody made that claim about them. But now somebody who has come can really cast out demons. He can really cast out devils. And then they make the claim about him. Oh, he's from the devil. All those imposters, they never made the claim about them, that they're from the devil. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ they've targeted. That's what is being mentioned here. And well, what a terrible thing that is. But you know, that's not too far removed from what we see nowadays, the attitude to Christianity. There are many religions that make great claims, many religions in the world that say we can give you true spiritual life, we can give you true enlightenment, We can make you right with God. We can bless you and so on. But it's the true religion, the Christian faith, that is attacked and said, oh, well, Christianity is the wicked one. All the imposters, nobody makes any claim. Nobody says that they're bad. But the true religion, Christ and the gospel, that's the wicked one. That's the attitude of the world. And it's just like these Pharisees and scribes. They never accused anybody else, but they will accuse the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, again, we could spend a long time just in this account, but I want to focus just really on verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. It is Satan who is the strong man. And Satan, well, we know he is a real person. He's not a mythical figure, just as we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is a true historical figure. Well, we know that Satan is a true person. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke so much about Satan and how we are to beware Satan. So if we believe Christ, well, we know that Satan is true. And he is a strong man. Yes, Satan is a strong man. And the picture that is being presented here, a strong man armed keepeth his palace, he's like a tyrant, a man of considerable influence and power, a strong man. Satan, of course, is not a literal man. He is a fallen angel. We read in the scriptures, we understand from the scriptures that he was once an angel of God, but he rebelled against God and he fell from heaven. He is a fallen angel. And it seems also in the scriptures that he seems to have a whole host of demons under him. There are powers and principalities. Satan is the head, and underneath him there are many demons, many devils, powers and principalities. So he's a strong man. A strong man armed, the Lord Jesus Christ said. What is he armed with? Well, the great weapons of Satan is his cunning, his subtlety. That's his great power, his great weapon. Satan knows how to deceive us. Satan knows how to manipulate us. Satan knows how to overcome the wills of men. That's his great strength. That's his great armory. He's done that right from the very start. From the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, Satan was there. I'm going to deceive them. I'm going to undo them. I'm going to bring them to destruction. He knows how to do it. He did it so subtly in the Garden of Eden. That is his armory. That is his weaponry, as it were. His cunning, his subtlety. This is how he has armed himself. And well, so many people don't believe these things, but that is all part of his power. That's all part of his deception and his trickery. He's a strong man armed, and he keepeth his palace, and his goods are in peace. Well, what does that mean? Well, Satan, what is Satan's great aim? Satan's great aim is not simply to be wicked, just for the sake of being wicked. Satan's great aim is to keep people from God, is to make that division between man and God. That is his great aim, to keep people from true salvation, from eternal life. This is Satan's plan. Let me keep people from God. No matter what happens, I will lead them away from the Lord. And it's like he has this great palace and he keeps people confined in this palace. He has a great dominion, a place of influence. He doesn't want anybody to go out of it. He wants people to stay in his palace. Don't go seeking after God. Don't go seeking after Christ. You're in my palace. I want you to stay there. Don't go looking out the window to see what's outside. Satan wants everybody to be kept in this one place. He's a strong man armed that keepeth his palace. And well, all these things we could spend a long time. But look at this part. His goods are in peace. He keeps his palace and his goods are in peace. This is how he keeps his palace, how he keeps people under his influence and his dominion. He keeps them in a kind of peace. Well, what sort of peace does the devil give us? Well, we see so much of this counterfeit peace in the world today. Satan keeps his subjects in peace, well, through giving them many comforts, many pleasures, things that pander to the flesh. He has a palace. A palace, well, you think of a palace being a wonderful place, a nice place to stay. And that is how Satan, well, he dresses up the world. Isn't the world a wonderful place? There's so many recreations, there's so many things you can do in this world, in the secular world, in the unbelieving world. Why would you ever want to leave it? Why would you ever want to leave the world and join the church? Oh no, stay in the world. There's lots of comforts, there's lots of pleasures. You have the internet, you have movies, you have music. Oh, there's so much to do in the world. That is how he keeps us at peace. He wants to keep us in the palace. Don't go to the church. He wants to keep us in this confined place. You're at rest here. You're happy here. Satan tells us, don't think too deeply about things. That's one of the house rules in the palace. In the palace, don't think too deeply about anything. Just think about trivial things, light things. Don't think too deeply. Don't think to yourself, why are you here? Why is the world like it is? Don't ever think about that. Don't think about the meaning of life. Don't think about the brevity of life. We're here for such a short time. Don't think about eternity. Don't think about where you're going when you die. Oh, don't think about those things. That's against the rules of the palace. Just think about trivial things, light things. Don't take away your own peace. Just think about things that don't really matter. And if anybody tries to speak to you about those things, block them out. Don't listen. That's the rules of the palace. You know, it's amazing. Before I was a Christian, this is a weak illustration, but before I was a Christian, I used to watch a lot of bad movies with my friends. And I remember we used to watch a lot of scary movies, like horror movies. And one of my friends, this was very strange, but one of my friends, whenever we watched a scary movie, he would always be asleep. Now, we never did that for any other film, an action film or anything else. He would be wide awake, but it was always the scary movie. Why was he asleep? Well, because he didn't want to be affected. He didn't want to be scared, so what is he going to do? He's going to sleep. He doesn't want his peace to be disturbed. Oh, I'll just go to sleep and I'll be at peace. I won't be affected by this scary movie. You know, some people, this is how they approach the gospel. They come into a church and, well, some of them do literally fall asleep, but they turn off. Oh, I'm not going to listen to this person. What he's got to say is going to take away my peace. So what can I do? I'm just going to sleep. I'm going to think about something else. The peace. Are you under the peace of Satan? You don't want to listen. It'll take away your peace. Do you see the peace of Satan that is being spoken here? Another way in which Satan keeps us at peace. Well, Satan always tells us we are good people. All the inhabitants in Satan's palace, they're good people, really. I'm a good person. I care for others. I'm polite. I open doors for people. I give up my seat on the bus. I recycle. I care for the planet. I'm a good person. Everybody in Satan's palace is a good person. That keeps them in a nice, peaceful state. We don't talk about sin in the palace. We don't talk about people being sinners, people not being right with God. Oh, if there's a God, this is how people think. If there's a God, yes, he'll accept me. Well, I may have done some things wrong in my life, perhaps, some things, but I've never done anything really bad. I haven't killed anyone. I haven't committed adultery. So if there's a God, well, he'll be all right with me. He knows that I did my best. That's how they speak in the palace of Satan. That's wrong. I hope, well, if there's anybody who thinks like that, I hate to take away your peace, but I must do. This is the word of God. God is a holy God, and heaven is a holy place. In order to enter into heaven, you must have no sin at all. You cannot go into heaven with even one single sin. It doesn't matter if you haven't killed anybody. Well, in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said, did he not? Doesn't matter if you haven't killed anyone. If you've thought evil of somebody, if you've hated somebody in your heart, that's a sin. That's the root of the sin. It doesn't matter if you haven't committed adultery. If you've looked at a woman with lust in your heart, that's the sin. Well, that takes away the peace of so many people, of all of us. That takes away your peace. But this is what the gospel does. It wrecks the peace of Satan. God requires perfection. And well, who can enter into that holy place, therefore? Nobody can. Nobody can by their own merits. You cannot enter. I cannot enter. But this is why we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to be our righteousness and to remove our sin from us that we may enter into heaven. This is why we need faith, each and every one of us. And we must come to the Lord, and we say this so often, as soon as possible. As soon as possible. Oh, in Satan's palace, there's never any rush. People, well, who listen to the influence of this world, what is Satan saying to you perhaps even now? Oh, don't worry. The Christian religion, well, it's for people who are old, who are getting to the very end of their lives. They need to worry about God because they'll soon be dead. It's not for you. It's not for me. I've got plenty of life left ahead of me. I can think about it much later. I can keep my peace for today. Are you under that peace? Dear friends, one of the, we prayed about it earlier. One of the things that this coronavirus has taught us, and God has allowed it to teach us, is that you never know how long you've got left. You are not in charge of how long you live. You simply cannot see, even beyond today. Don't be in that peace, oh, I've got years and years left. That's a foolish peace. We never know how long we have left. And the scriptures say that if we die in our sins, well, we are eternally lost. We end up in that place called hell. And dear friends, we must beware hell. You know, I've met people who even seem to have a peace about hell. They say to you, oh, hell isn't that bad. I met someone once. I knocked on the door and invited him to a church. And he told me he was in the church of Satan and that he knew he was going to hell, but he didn't care. He was at peace. He was in this peace that we're speaking about. He was at peace going to hell. Dear friends, what do you think hell is? So many people think, oh, well, it won't be that bad. Oh, my friends will be there. Oh, perhaps family members will be there. And it's a place where you can do whatever you want. Oh, we're all going to hell. We'll have a wonderful time. We can sin to our heart's content. Is that the peace that you have about hell? That's not what the scriptures say. Hell is a terrible place. There is no friendship in hell. If you see your friends in hell, there'll be no friendship. There'll be no love. You'll be cursing one another. You'll be hating one another. You'll be blaming one another. It's your fault we're in this place. It's your fault we're in this place. You never sought after God. You never sought after God. It'll be a place of hatred and bitterness. That's what hell is like. And hell is eternal punishment. Hell, well, you're not free from God in hell. You'll never know his love or his grace or his mercy, of course not. But you know, God is in hell, but only his wrath and his anger against your sin. That's what hell is. It's his anger, the everlasting anger of God. That is what hell is. So you don't even escape from God in hell. You have to face his righteous indignation against your sin forever and ever. Dear friends, don't be at peace about hell. Don't take hell lightly. If you don't know the Lord, that is where you are heading. And you don't even know how long you've got left in this life. Don't have peace about these things. You must come to the Lord. He is the only way of salvation, the only way of forgiveness. On the cross at Calvary, he took the punishment for our sin. On that cross, he suffered our hell for us. Those who believe in Christ, we don't go to hell. Why? Because Christ suffered our hell for us. He was our substitute. He was our scapegoat. He says to the Father, Lord, punish me instead of them. And that is why we are saved. That is why we are forgiven all our sin. And he did it out of love for us. And he did it that we may have peace. True peace. True peace can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace, knowing that our sin is dealt with, our sin is all forgiven. Peace, knowing that we are right with God. Peace, knowing that God is our greatest friend. He's not our enemy any longer. Peace that is everlasting. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ is everlasting. The peace of Satan, that which we have been talking about today, that peace will come to a terrible end. When the Lord Jesus Christ appears at the end of time, Satan's palace will all come crashing down. The peace that everybody had in this world, oh, don't worry about God, don't worry about this, don't worry about that, it will all come to an end. A stronger than Satan. Well, we read it in verse 22. Verse 21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. That's Satan, but this is Christ. Look at verse 22. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. This is Christ. He is stronger than Satan. And Christ shall appear at the very end. He shall overcome Satan. He will crush Satan under his feet. And well, all those who trusted in Satan, who had the peace of Satan, will be eternally lost. But all those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, all those who once belonged to Satan, but now they have come to light and life in Christ, they will be saved. Christ is our Savior. He is the one who is stronger than Satan and who has undone all his work. Well, whose side are you on as we draw to conclusion? Whose side are you on? Are you living in the peace of the devil, the peace of this world? How foolish that will be. Don't go out of this place and think to yourself, well, as soon as you leave this place, Satan will try to usher you back into his peace. You'll go out of this church and you'll look at so many people who don't know the Lord. And you'll think to yourself, or Satan will say to you, oh, well, you're in good company. Look at all these people, this whole community. So many people in this world don't know the Lord. So, well, you can have peace. You're no worse off than them. Safety in numbers. That's how Satan does it. Look at all the people who don't believe. But dear friends, I have to say to you, you have heard. You have believed. You have heard the gospel. Don't worry about those who haven't. You have heard the gospel today. And if you reject it, there will be greater condemnation for you. Greater punishment because you heard the gospel preached so clearly and you rejected it. So don't be in peace. So many others haven't heard the gospel. You have. And you will have to answer at the very end of time. Dear friends, come to the Lord. The Lord will give you peace. The Lord will bless you. You will come into this place every week rejoicing. You won't have to sleep. You won't have to switch off. You will hear these things without fear and worshiping God in your heart and loving Christ for his great salvation. Don't remain in the palace of Satan. Come, enter into the kingdom of God through faith in his name. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank thee that there is one who is greater than Satan. Lord, we are weak, we are feeble. Satan, we know, has power over us. But Lord, we know that there is one who has overcome him. And Lord, may our faith, our trust be in him. Oh dear Lord, may we not be foolish. Take away that peace, that false peace that we have, that we may exchange it for true peace. True peace in Christ Jesus, the forgiveness of all our sin. O Lord, work in us in a mighty way that we may be gathered into the kingdom of God and worship our dear Saviour forevermore. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.